This is episode 146, recorded on February 7th, 2014. Packard pokes at DNA Hex and Red Hot Self-Sex.
Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
Kirk drew a picture of a fish and a human, and with effusive disdain asked Richard if he really thought we were stupid enough to believe that a fish somehow turned into a human through just, like, random things happening over time.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the personal incredulity fallacy. Because you found something difficult to understand, or are unaware of how it works, you made out like it's probably not true.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
When? Just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Crystal Says So.
Good evening, sinners. Welcome.
And joining us from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
We are the knights who say neat.
That's for Doctor Strange. Room there. I will taunt you another time.
It's only a flesh wound. No, it's not.
Back,
I've cut off your arm. It's just a flesh wound. I saw that. Somebody had taken that picture and had swapped off Ken Ham's and Bill Nye's. And Bill Nye was the guy with the sword. And Ken Ham was the guy that had his arm chopped off. He goes, it's only a flesh wound. So I was like... A lot of good memes for the Bill Nye thing that happened, you know, the debate. So, but anyway, that was a nice little drag out they had. But it was, if you caught it, there was, I wouldn't say amazing, but it was rather interesting. Anyway, all right, we got some good stories for you tonight. So let's go on to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Have you ever seen Star Wars? You know, there's in Star Wars episode, some people think it's episode 2, but it's actually episode 4, 5? It's 5. Where it's The Empire Strikes Back, and then Luke finds out that Darth Vader's his father. He's hanging off the piece there, and he chops off his arm, or not his arm, but part of his hand. And then he says, by the way, Luke, I'm your father, which is kind of a dick move. Wouldn't you rather, instead of, you know, chop it off the kid's hand and, you know, say, hey, let's go out for some coffee. We'll talk, you know, but I'm going to chop off your hand, then tell you I'm your father. That is kind of a dick move. But I'm not talking.
Asshole. Yeah.
Definitely would be an asshole. But the whole point behind this is, at the end of the movie, Luke gets a replacement hand. And the android that's fixing on his hand, he's touching it and he's poking it. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, I can feel that. And there's a man in real life who had his hand blown off. He was playing with some fireworks and he blew off his left hand. And he had a prosthetic hand for some time, but they have been working on a way for you to, or for not you, but this man to feel actually what he's holding. Like I'm holding this cup. I can tell that it's cold and cylindrical and it's hard and everything like that. With most prosthetic limbs, you have to pay attention to what you're grabbing. Otherwise, because of the motors and everything, it could literally crush the object that it's holding if you're not paying attention. With this new hand that's come out that they're working on, it what it'll do is you could, with this guy, he was blindfolded in the test. He could tell if the object was soft or hard, and it would give him feedback, physical feedback in the nerves. So you wouldn't accidentally crush something that shouldn't be, you know, crushed. Crystal, your thoughts?
Oh, this is a really interesting story, and with it being in the prototype phase, we're going to see a whole bunch more coming out of this. But as you said, that sensory feedback is a key element, you know, for dexterity. And this guy was able to get the sensors implanted into the muscles and the nerves of his arm, which was the difference, you know, between the one he had before. It just went by muscular movement.
Right.
And this one actually goes by nerves, little tiny nerves that are smaller than a hair.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be able to discern shapes and firmness of objects while he's blindfolded, that's awesome.
Right.
You know, I can imagine, we were talking about this before, about how there's a lot more implications in this. I mean, people with nerve damage, like from diabetes or, mm-hmm. you know, not just amputees. So it's really exciting to see, you know, that part of it's internal, but there's cording and all this other stuff that's going to have to be worked out. But mm-hmm. I can see something happening in the really near future with this.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It just, the thing is, though, you know, I feel bad that the guy got his hand blown off. But I was, when I was reading this, it's like, if it had been a soldier who got his hand blown off, you know, for, you know, being in combat, then I would say, yeah, he deserved this. But this guy, you know, he's fucking around with a firework and blows his hand off. But, you know, then I thought to myself, you know, either way, this man lost his hand, and he needed to have it replaced, and he was willing to volunteer for this procedure. So, you know, don't blame the man for, you know, being a screw up, but look at the positive side, that that this man is going to be getting back some sensory on this. Now, it doesn't feel any temperature, but, you know, it's a step towards that. Kind of your thoughts?
Well, he didn't actually get to keep this. This was just a clinic. This is just a trial. And,
right.
What they want to do is when I read the article, this other article, it says they want to get rid of the wires and have it be implanted electrodes, have it be all under the skin. And they said that they are like 5 to 6 years before clinical trials will be able to be done on this. And then the biggest unknown still is how much this might cost. But then again, given time and advancements with, you know, robotics and microchips and all of, and what we know, I'm hoping that by the time they actually can produce this and make it available to soldiers and the just people who have nerve damage, mm-hmm. that the cost will be minimal,
right?
And or maybe be something that, you know, will be covered by insurance. But
right.
Yeah, it's really amazing what they've done.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So
yeah, you know, yeah. And yeah, you're right. This is just a prototype, so he doesn't get to keep it. He underwent a whole mm-hmm. lot of surgery.
Yeah.
To get the implant stuff put in there. So, and I don't know if he gets to keep the implants, probably not, but I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of sucky. You know, it's like, all right, we're going to do all the surgery on you. Well, now we're done testing you. Got to give us the surgery. You got to have more surgery to have that stuff removed, you know. Well, maybe, you know, it's a good thing, I guess. So I don't know. Any last thoughts on that?
Well, they just need to, you know, it's having to find out the long-term, like you said, with the sensors implanted already, the long-term implications, how does this work over a prolonged period of time,
mm-hmm.
and with more than one person,
right.
you know, before they can get something accurate. But for all of these, there's a whole lot of big-time medical people that, you know, weighed in on this, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing that this was turning out to be, so...
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Before we get to our next topic here, our next story anyway, I just want, I keep forgetting. I'm not doing this a whole lot, and I keep forgetting. But this is episode 146, by the way. So if you're keeping score at home. But our next story here is, if you ever gotten into an argument with somebody and they say, you're just a fucking Neanderthal. Well, good news. He's right. Or she's right, you know. Don't take it as a disparagement. It's actually a compliment. according to, well, this was from yahoonews.com. there was, and apparently there was some other links out there. There'll be links at packerpokes@wordpress.com. There's a lot of genomes that throughout the centuries, you know, we are an evolved species. And the, one of the things is that Neanderthals and modern day humans, well, not quite modern day humans, but the pre-humans, I guess, they got together and they, well, they kind of had some babies. And you and I and everybody else on the planet are some of our those descendants. What was really interesting when I read this, that people who live like down in Africa and in China and so forth, they have less of those genomes in their DNA. The genome, what it does is it's a lot of it has to do with like our body hair, for example. It's this the researcher who had this tested, he actually had his was actually quite high for the amount of Neanderthal DNA that was in his blood system, in his system anyway. And it was just amazing. The fact is that, you know, I knew we had evolved, but I thought, you know, that this stuff had moved out of us. But apparently, because of this, this is where we get our immune systems from and all this other stuff. It's really fascinating. Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is really fascinating. I mean, folks, evolution does happen. Here we go. Absolute proof of it. And you're carrying it around in your body. You know, the genomes is what makes humans human. And there is a lot. If you get to go read all the articles that you pulled up, there is a lot of information on this. About 1%, give or take, is what they're finding in people. And like you said, there's a connection between the Neanderthals and autoimmune diseases like type 2 diabetes, Crohn's disease. And, you know, that's going to lead to some more help for these folks. So it's kind of a double bowl of awesomeness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's some very fascinating stuff on this. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was actually two separate studies for the journal that was presented in the journal Science and the journal Nature. And the three outside scientists are just praising it because even though these two studies use two different techniques, their conclusions are similar, and it's very exciting. The really strange thing that they found was evidently the inbreeding, the breeding between Neanderthals and early man was the males were basically shooting a lot of blanks, which again is, you know, if you don't reproduce, then, you know, that's part of evolution is you those who live to reproduce are the ones who pass on their genetics. So I don't know. I'm kind of making the assumption then that a lot of what we see has been inherited from the females that were maybe taken in. And I thought it was really interesting that one of the higher areas that they found the Neanderthal DNA was in Utah, which I thought, well, Mormon's supposed to be all white and delightsome. You know?
Yeah.
I took a just
that
a
says a lot about the Mormons, doesn't it?
So I'm going, okay, tell us about that again. Yeah, well, really fascinating. Yep.
Yeah, that was.
That's what I found.
Yeah, it was really interesting. The fact is that they had it said it, one of the lines here. It says those particular genes is what makes us uniquely human, and those regions of genetic code you just can't mess with. So people who think that, you know, I'm just going to cut this out, and you can't, for one, but even if you could, you probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't survive.
Entropy Fan is saying in the chat room, that's the thing, interbreeding between Neanderthals and early man was really rare, but inbreeding mm-hmm. within Neanderthals evidently was quite common.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah, a lot of them were getting down in the plane and they didn't need a radio going ding 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 ding. You probably got the drummer or not drummer, but you
the,
know,
the dun, 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 dun.
So
you just want me to say you got a real pretty mouth.
You got a real pretty mouth.
You got a real pretty mouth.
You got a real pretty mouth. There you go. I can really do that voice today, too, with my...
Yes. There you go. That was kind of interesting that they did find, like, what, 70% of this DNA matter was all located in the skin and the hair,
mm-hmm.
Which all relates to the melanin. And I found that fascinating because they themselves evolved And yes. That's how they, you know, the ones that were going up towards Europe, that helped with their lighter skin, absorbing the vitamin D, for example. So, you know, that's just fascinating in itself to see that. And also talking about the speech and communication skills.
Right.
Yes.
That would correlate with their inability to do that. And that is a distinct human advantage, is our speech and communication.
Right. I just want to make a quick correction. I said the Chinese had the lowest, but I was mistaken. It says residents of Han Chinese ancestors had the highest Neanderthal DNA rate at 1.4%. Los Angeles residents of Mexican descent had 1.22%. The Neanderthal DNA in Europe, Finns, and had the highest Neanderthal DNA rate at 1.2%. And it said the Utah residents of northern and western Europe came in at 1.17%. And Puerto Ricans only had 1.05%. So that was kind of cool. And the scientist, I think he said, yeah, he came in at 2.9%. So it makes me wonder, have you ever seen those guys with all the hair on their back? If you can give this test, he goes, yep, you're 90% Neanderthal. Arr, where's club? You know.
I just kept thinking Harry and the Hendersons this whole time. I just couldn't get my mind off of that. It's all, I'm like, now we know what he was doing in that house.
Are we really going there with Sasquatch again this week? I don't know. Poking a hornet's nest there.
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Say something bad about, you can say bad thing about God, Jesus, or whatever, but don't say anything bad about Bigfoot. But anyway, nope. No, that's a couple shows back. Anyway.
We want to.
Sure. Anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
It's near Valentine's Day, and a lot of people have someone that they want to be with on Valentine's Day. And there's a lot of people out there who don't have anybody, and there's ones that wish that the person that they were with was gone in other ways, or just wants to wish bad ill will on them. And some people who still believe in this stuff turn to voodoo. And there's a place over in London, and they offer a service to sell you a voodoo doll for Valentine's Day. It's kind of creepy, it's kind of funny, and it's a whole lot of horse shit. This site, it's a website, you can go there. It's called Hex Your Ex. This is a clip from their site. It says, for anyone who has recently been spurned, dumped, or two-timed inside of a long-stemmed rose, a gypsy violinist, or a gift box of Belgian truffles might evoke similar feelings of cold-blooded revenge and retribution. Ha 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 ha. No, I didn't say the last part there, but the ha 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 part I added to myself. But for all of you people, we may offer our voodoo your ex service. So the service costs $32. So if you got $32 and you want to vex somebody, they offer a variety of hexes. And a couple of them are impotence, flatulence, beer belly, root canal surgery, prostate examination. Some people might like that, actually. Pet run over. Now, that one is kind of rude. Why would you say, I hope your pet dies? You know, man, if you're wishing someone pet dies, then you're the problem, man. You're the problem. Football team regulated. It's a football team. Something's going to happen to it. I don't know. And the funniest one I thought I saw on there, it said, zero Twitter followers. So it's like all your Twitter, you come get on Twitter one day, you got like 1,000 or whatever, or 5 or whatever, and you get on there one day, and they're all gone. Everybody's abandoned me. Where did you go? That's so ridiculous. Crystal, your thoughts.
Okay, so when you find out that you have no Twitter followers, you will know what we have done. These people are not like, this is funny because, it's funny anyway, because you send in the picture, you send in a piece of their clothing, and then you're supposed to write 5 hexes for the doll. And, you know, and then they, one for the torso and one for each of the limbs. And, you know, the things that they came up with, like the impotence, flatulence, I'm thinking like, oh my God, they needed to come to me first. I can think of much sicker things to put on this thing. Much better. And I would pay them $32 just for the hell of it. That would be fun.
Yeah, there's some people who do this. It's just for fun. You know what I mean? I suppose for some people, this goes, it gives them a feeling that they got back at somebody without actually going and doing it. I mean, I could understand, you know, sticking a pin in a dial and going, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, who is it hurting? You're sticking a pin in an inanimate object. And it doesn't really hurt anybody. It gives you a sense of self-satisfaction, a little cognitive dissonance on it, basically. But the fact is that it's happening at all. The thing that's actually happening, it's a little kooky, especially if you actually think it's happening. But at least it's stopping the ones out there who are actually going to go and do this. Kind of your thoughts.
I don't know, Crystal, I smell a business opportunity. I have a new sewing machine. I'm sure that there's people out there who have $32 that are burning a hole in their pocket.
we'll do it for a discount.
There's no imagination in those hexes. I don't know. So I looked up, you know, what is, you know, voodoo doll, and actually a gree-gree, it was meant to not be so much a hexen as it was to be like a protecting thing, like the juju, you know, to protect you, but mm-hmm. it's become something else. So, and there were words on here I didn't know about, you know, you could get this thing blessed at some mass ball that they're having, and that's not here, it's in England or something somewhere, by the Hoogan Dr. Snake Tongue and Mambo Mother Caraway. And I'm going, oh, what does that mean? Hoogan is priest and mm-hmm. Mambo's priestess, and I don't know. I just think there are probably a lot healthier ways to, get rid of your,
yeah, to get rid of, just
forget, you know, maybe.
Yeah, Connie, but you were such a great voodoo doll for Halloween.
You know what?
Did y'all not think about that whenever we were going over this? The first person I thought of was Connie.
Yeah. You know, according to this site, it said that, you know, when you send this in, you're supposed to give them a name, especially if you say you want to get a picture of it. You know, you can have it customized to have a picture of the person. So you send them a picture and they plaster it on there or some shit like that. And you're supposed to set a piece of clothing of the person that it was.
Right.
And that's common. But, you know, then I read further into it. It's like, but if you don't have a piece of their clothing, oh, you just pick something out and we'll stick it to it. So you're right there. You can say, oh, I see. As long as I don't have a picture or a face or none, but it'll still work. It doesn't look like them. It's nothing that actually owns them, but it'll still work. So long as you say it's their name, you know. That's like, what are you talking about?
Okay, but there might be some benefit here, though, folks. Listen, because they all get together on Valentine's Day for a masked ball and a full voodoo hexing ceremony. So it's kind of like a big hookup.
Yeah.
It is.
It's win-win. You hex your ex, and then you hook up.
Well,
no, it was this huge, big party. Lasts till like 4 a.m. There's all of this stuff.
I don't know if I would go to a party like that, because if someone is angry enough to go and vex somebody else, and if, you know, I dated him and then I broke up, then, you know, then they'd be doing it to me. Or might do it to me. I don't know. So if they're crazy enough to think this is real, then I'm like, this is the kind of people you go. You give them a burner phone number, and you don't give them your real name.
I've heard you take them
to a hotel.
I've heard it said that
and leave your mask on.
Girlfriends do the best sex, but I don't know. I don't. I wouldn't go there.
I would.
It's just too funny. Too funny. All right, well, on to our next story here. A Florida man, I don't understand with Florida. It's just Florida. We could just put the tag Florida on this, and you could just start laughing now, because everything that comes out of Florida is fucking ridiculous. This man, he was accused of torching a building. Okay, that's not so funny. But the reason why he torched the building is because they asked him to stop masturbating. Okay, well, most people think, oh, that's kind of a unusual request to stop masturbating. I mean, whose business is it of yours? Tell me, you know, what to do with my body. But he wasn't doing it in the privacy of his own home. He would stand in his window with the window drains open, and he would do it in his doorway where his neighbors would see him walking, where he's standing there doing that, and they'd walk by. Thing was, this guy here, he apparently must have been cleaning his gun which is, again, Florida. What can I say? He was either cleaning it or he tried to commit suicide. I don't know. And there's a picture of him. And it looks like a Photoshop where you take and you swirl the picture down and it distorts the face. But because he got shot in the face, I don't think he's all there anymore. So he has some difficulties. And he may have stepped over the imaginary line in his head and said, okay, fuck you people, and up in smoke. And several people are now without a home because he got asked to stop masturbating. What can I say? Crystal, your thoughts?
You know, this guy, if you see that picture, you know he's got problems just with that alone. There's got to be some kind of mental element to this. And I know that a lot of in psychology, masturbation and public masturbation does go along with a lot of the mental illnesses. So I that's what I'm thinking about at first. I saw where this was actually an intentional gunshot wound in one article, mm-hmm. Where he was actually trying to commit suicide. And then the other one is like, I wouldn't want to see that either. So, you know, I'm kind of torn between, I feel sorry for this guy to some extent, because I do believe he needs some help. But, you know, he lived in a community. It had 80 small apartments. They served low income and disabled residents. So, you know, there's a lot of needs in that area and a lot of elderly people. And gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It said there was four families that were put out because of this. And it's like, this guy, I don't know why they put him in a house. I don't know where he got access to this kind of equipment to start the fire. But I guess it doesn't take much, a pack of matches and, you know, you can get gasoline anywhere. You know, it's
right. And, you know, he'd lived there for over a decade. Mm-hmm. So without any problems, without any issues, other than just blowing his face off quite literally.
Yes.
I can't help. I'm glad nobody got hurt. That was the end result, was nobody did get hurt. None of the firemen got hurt and none of the residents. I hate people that were displaced, but I think that maybe this guy needs to go for a really good psych evaluation rather than just getting thrown into general population in jail. That's just my thoughts about it.
That's excellent point. Excellent point there. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, other than our jokes we have about Florida being the dick of the U.S. and, you know, all these stories, you know, like you go to the people of Walmart site and how many are from Florida.
Yeah, no shit.
The more that I read this, the more that I feel this guilt for talking about it, because I'm going, this is a mental illness problem. And we have a mental illness problem in our country. And that's usually where they wind up. They wind up in places like this. And I don't know. I mean, I tried to find out in the story to see exactly what was the story behind the gunshot wound. And there was like nothing. He has no arrest record in Florida, but it doesn't mean that he's lived there 10 years. Where was he before? So yeah, it's sad. And I don't know. He was on the second floor. So when he started the fire in his apartment, the other upstairs next to him, that was the other family that was displaced there from smoke and fire damage. And then the floors, the two below, was water damage. But I wish that this was something that we could figure out what to do, something better than just incarceration or letting them wander around. They obviously need help. But I wonder if he was trying to commit suicide again, to be honest.
That's possible. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, we don't have a whole lot on the story. I mean, all we know is that he torched it. If he had died in the fire, then we probably could say, then he would probably attempt suicide. But who knows what that set some people off. I mean, you know, it just the little things like this.
Well, maybe we should have just got him room darkening glass for his door and his window, and he could have done what he wanted. And
no one would be saying, "Hey, those they got those windows for the cars. They put the black window on the front there. He could stand there and go whack whack whack, and nobody would have seen him. It's like a two way mirror, you know, or one way mirror. It's like, hey, I can see you, but you can't see me. Ha ha ha. You know."
You've got to wonder really about what this fella's IQ is, maybe.
Yeah.
And not to be demeaning or degrading, but honestly, he may not have really understand the repercussions of setting that fire. He was pissed. He just set that fire.
True.
He probably couldn't foresee what the outcome may have been.
That's true.
That's just a guess.
No, 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 that's
the filters. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a that's an excellent point. And yeah, it's he may not have just thought, "Well, okay, well, I'm just going to set the carpet on fire and they'll have to come put it out and it'll just say, hey, you know, just so I'm fucking angry." But he ended up starting the whole building on fire. So,
well, isn't the emotional center, no, that's the hypothalamus, that's in the middle of the brain, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was injured when he shot himself.
It could be. I mean, he was pretty badly messed up by that fire, or for that, from the shot.
Absolutely.
So, it's hard to
tell.
I think
his nickname was the jerk.
Thank you.
Sure wasn't Jack? Sure wasn't Jack? I'm sorry. Anyway, all right. Well, if you have a comment on these stories or want to tell us what we've done wrong, what we got right, the phone number here is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. Give us a call. Leave your name or a fake name, whatever you want to leave, and tell us, and we'll play it here on the show. And if you want to get in touch with us other ways, we're going to give you information right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host, with occasional guest hosts, enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixlr Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesat today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe, even though you're not here. He somehow manages to worm his way into every show. I don't know.
He's doing it that when he's sick tonight.
Yeah, he's doing it from the chat room. Yeah, I can't figure out how he does it, but he still gets in here somehow.
It's some of that mojo. You better watch out. I think he's got a Packard voodoo doll.
He probably does.
I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to tell your secret.
All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. They got paid for their sound bites and sold their TV movie rights. Smoking is a big problem in this country. A lot of people die from it, and a lot of people just can't fucking stand it when there's people take a and blow it in their face. Or just happen to be in the area. They may not even be doing it intentionally to blow it in your face, but some people just, you're at a bar or you're in a vehicle or whatever, and the smoke just happens, like, comes over by you, and you're like, chokes you right out. And frankly, I personally think that smoking is not a good thing, obviously, but because I don't smoke, and I don't like being around smokers. Sometimes I can deal with it because I came from a family of smokers, but it's not a pleasant feeling to have people come up to ask you for cigarettes when you've got smell of cigarette smoke on you, and you go, hey, I don't smoke. Yeah, but you smell like smoke. Well, there's a company that's a pretty big company. It's CVS Pharmacy. They are the second largest pharmacy corporation out there, and they are going to stop selling cigarettes and all tobacco products come October 1st of 2014. So later this year, they're going to completely stop selling this stuff. Now, this is not an easy thing to do because this is a $2 billion, with a B, billion dollar revenue that they're taking there and going, no, I don't want this $2 billion. Because of this, their trading stocks went down a little bit. But, you know, I think in the end, they're making the right decision. But there are a lot of people who are going, oh, you know what? If they don't sell me cigarettes, I'll just go somewhere else. Well, that's your choice. You know, they're making a choice for people's health. They're not looking at the bottom line. They're looking at the health it's going to take. Because the bottom line is, when even if they were to say keep selling these cigarettes, the health costs for this country and hospitals goes up. Because the fact is, cigarette smokers are a bigger portion, as I recall, I could be wrong, there are a bigger portion of the medical problems in this country. And if we take the smoking away from this, this brings lowers the health care costs. Crystal, your thoughts?
CVS Caremark, number two in the drugstore chains, only secondary to Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And they're giving up about that $2 billion in sales, as you said. This equals only about 1.6% of this company's revenues for about 2012, I believe, is the year that they gave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I applaud them because it does seem a little bit controversial. You're selling medications and you've got a minute clinic for sick people, but yet on the way out, you can pick up a pack of Marlboros.
Right.
On the other hand, I think all it's going to do is make them go to Walgreens, and the people at Walgreens are just jumping up and down and saying, hot damn, go for it now. You know, smoking does cause a lot of a disease, and you're probably right statistically wise, because we're, you know, we're really just now learning a lot about the effects of secondhand smoke on people. And you know, children our age, they had parents that smoked in the home and in the car and everything else. Mm-hmm. And we're experiencing health problems in our, you know, earlier years. And we're finding out that that's really a bad thing. So in that way, I do applaud them. I think smokers are getting kind of slammed in a way, though. And I totally support their right to smoke. So I'm kind of torn about this. I'm not really sure that I think CVS is doing it for all the right reasons.
Right.
I think somewhere down the line, just going to find out they're going to get some kickback from this.
Right. You know, I think that they will recover somewhere. I mean, the $2 billion that they're losing, I think they'll recover it somewhere else. I mean, and the company did this right after its 50-year anniversary. So this is not like some new company that just, you know, has sprung up and overnight and just happens to have a good following. It's been around for quite some time, actually.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, when I read the article, it was saying that they hope to gain by investing in more in-store urgent care clinics and pharmacies can offer medical counseling. That's what they're planning on implementing in the CVS pharmacies.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people have been kind of, how can I say it? It was like they're looking for a la carte medical advice.
Right.
And honestly, the tobacco wasn't as huge a income for CBS as we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, they have to watch out for regulating age checks, and I don't know what kind of liability that is.
Yeah,
and less than 5% of tobacco sales came from pharmacies in 2009.
Right.
But what gets me is we call it a pharmacy, but really the drugstore used to be like the Walmart. You know, it wasn't just a drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
It's become more and more like that. But that's why when you walk in there, you can find kids' toys and cards and everything else.
Yep.
And most modern Rite Aids. And that's where I usually go, is Rite Aid. So I think that if there's a way to if there's a way to look at smoking, I think that if a store chooses not to sell, like if, for example, if restaurants choose that they want to be smoke free, I think that that's the way that the market should run this. I don't think there should be laws against smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a non-smoker, a lifetime non-smoker, I'd never liked being around it. I grew up, my parents did until I was in college.
All right.
And I would just find that I would choose to go to restaurants that had really good ventilation or really good separation of smoking and non-smoking areas.
Yeah, they put the smokers in a glass box. You go, hey, don't.
Well, usually they're on one side of the restaurant and you're on the other.
Yeah, but
something.
Smoke doesn't. Doesn't go. They go. Oh no, that's a smoking area. I can't go over there now.
Oh, God. Anyway, I'm not for the anti-smoking laws. I don't like the bans. But I guess if I had, and I hate to talk about it too much, but I'm curious. CVS deciding that they don't want to sell cigarettes. That's one thing. What about the places that choose? Well, we don't want to sell the the morning after pill. We had a case of that here.
I think that's different because
is it different?
I think it is different because, you know, because one, the smoking after the day after pill is like $50 to $60 or more. And that's something you take with once in a great while. I would hope so anyway. You know, I don't know what the long-term effects of something like that would be. But we do know the long-term effects of smoking. I mean, it's pretty strong. The evidence is pretty strong that people get lung cancer and things like that. You know, if let's say I was a woman and I wanted to, you know, take the morning after pill. If I take it, I'm not going to give cancer by blowing the breath out of me after I've onto somebody else. I don't go, I took the pill.
I'm saying, what if CVS wanted to take a stance because they were...
Because of that. You're saying if they want to stop taking that.
I agree with Connie.
I see your point now.
But I still don't think that's necessarily related. I know. It's just something that's been nagging in the back of my head. I understand the precedence here.
I understand because there have been stories of pharmacists who say, hey, you know, I'm not going to sell condoms or birth control of any kind or even the morning after pill because of my religious beliefs.
Yeah.
But so far, the only thing they've done is they're just going to say, hey, you know, we're looking out for your health. And we're just not going to sell cigarettes anymore. I still think that's a good thing. Now, there was a thing with Walgreens, and this happened in San Francisco. And they made this weird argument that said they issued an alert or argument that removing cigarettes from drugstores would force smokers to liquor stores, where they can buy it anyway. Tobacco shops, duh. Gas stations, duh. And other retailers that don't carry smoking cessation products and don't have pharmacists available for advice on quitting. Well, they never said that you couldn't go to the person and say, hey, do you have anything to stop quitting? They didn't say they were going to take away all the stuff to stop quitting, but they're going to take away, you know, maybe the when they say all tobacco products, maybe they're talking about those chewing gum things maybe as well because it does deliver nicotine. I don't know. It just says tobacco products. I mean, I wonder if that would fall into that category. But if it doesn't, then the whole stop quitting thing is a totally moot argument, and it's a bullshit argument.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Well,
my problem, I wanted to say.
Yeah.
That, you know, they said that the one thing they think they're taking away the temptation, right?
Right.
Because you're walking in there to get your cough medicine, and then you're walking right by a whole wall of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You are also walking by two rows in my CVS, two rows of alcohol. Mm-hmm. Okay, now
put the cigarettes there next to the alcohol.
It's just as major of a problem health wise yes. as smoking is.
Absolutely, it is.
So where is it going to stop? It's totally within their right to do that. It's not going to affect their sales. I think they are going to get kickbacks from this thing. And like you and Connie both talked about with the clinics and expanding that. But is it going to be the alcohol next?
I don't know.
Are we unfairly targeting tobacco?
I don't
like that's the hot button.
It is a hot button for a lot of places. I mean, they took smoking out of all the restaurants and bars here in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
and a lot of bar owners were like, we're pushing back on, or at least in the city I live in, they were pushing back saying, oh, well, I'm going to have a private club for smokers. And they had, so they changed it to a restaurant to a private club. So they could bypass the law, and they still got busted because, you know, it was a bullshit move on their part. So I don't know. There is a lot of people that smoke, but you know, the thing is, it's an oral fixation, and a lot of people, they don't know what to do with their hands after they've stopped smoking. I mean, that's why a lot of people pick up the cigarette, because they got feel like they've got to do something with their hands. Pick up a bottle of glue. Don't stiff the glue, and make an airplane or a boat or a robot, whatever you want to make. Just keep your hands busy doing something else. Go masturbate. Don't do it in your room.
Don't do it in your window.
Door. Just don't do it in your window or your door.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Right. I don't want pictures of that. Well, some of them maybe. I don't know.
But you know, smoking is as addictive as heroin.
Right.
Period. That's
yes.
the way it is.
Actually, there have been studies with people who are on heroin or other drugs, and they put them in jail, And they were able to kick those habits, but the smoking, they couldn't kick the smoking habit.
Yes.
And it's surprising that the fact is that is way more addictive than any of those drugs. And it's legal. So,
but not everybody's that addicted to. I don't know.
That's true. There's some people who can't kick it.
I need to throw that out there.
No, that's true. Some people can kick it. So they have it's very difficult, but it can be done.
Yeah.
Moving on to our next story here.
This was such a good one, though.
Yes, it was.
We milked that one.
Yes.
I could go on. Let's go on.
Our next story here. This politician, he up and quit. He says, I'm done. He left a little note. But he didn't do it in just any old fashion. Just like, right, I quit. See you later, fuckers. He wrote his resignation in Klingon. I thought this was so awesome. Town council member in North Carolina said he told the mayor this week he's resigning in a letter written in Klingon, in the Klingon language, and he plans to run for U.S. Senate. Now, this man here, his name is David Waddell, and he had 2 years left to his term, and he lives about 15 miles southeast of Charlotte. So he's in your neighborhood, Crystal.
Oh yes.
It says here that instead of the long, otherwise standard English, he wrote it in Klingon, which I thought was cool. You know, Klingon's a made-up language. They made it up just for a movie, and people have adopted this language, and they have a lot of books that are being written in Klingon just for people who are Star Trek nerds. And I actually know only like a couple of words in Klingon. Like I know a couple words in Spanish and in French and in Canadian and New York. I speak a little binary too, but but I could
speak pig Latin.
You speak pig Latin, okay? But I think it's a fun way to tell anybody, hey, I'm out of here. Crystal, your thoughts?
You know, this is like right near my neighborhood. This was all carried on the local news, and it really was all done, you know, in fun. And you know, he said that if you understand them, you know that they value integrity, honor, and duty above all else. And that was a big point of contention between himself and the council. Also, this guy plans to run as a write-in candidate on the religious conservative Constitution Party platform for Senator Kay Hagan's seat this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he got big exposure from this. You know, I mean, this broke a while back, and it's just now kind of leaking out into the public. But everybody is getting a big kick out of this. And I don't do Klingon. I don't do Star Wars. Don't throw boots at me. But I think it was a great way to get your name out there if you're planning on running on a seat.
Sure.
And my other thing is where in the hell is Michael when we need him?
I was thinking the same thing. He can speak Klingon, but he can't speak poorly. Yeah. Yes. And if you are so inclined, and if you kind of really want to learn the language, I guess, I don't know if you there are audiobooks available that you can learn it. I actually have a Klingon English to Klingon dictionary. Yes, I'm a geek. And but you can learn this language. It's a real language, as it were. And if you want to, go to Google, and you can select a variety of different languages on there. Some of the more weird ones out there. One of it is Klingon, some of it's pirate, and there's a variety of other ones that are just, you know, funny languages that there's just a huge selection. Just go to Google and select your language button, and you can see a whole shitload of languages, and some of them you're going to go, some of them are just in there just for fun and shits and giggles. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, according to a website I found, it was sacrifice, strength, and duty that the Klingon honors. And it says here, furthermore, a Klingon who is unable to fight and hence unable to live as a warrior anymore has the traditional obligation of committing the Hagbot, which was the Klingon ritual suicide. Tradition dictated that the eldest son or a close personal friend must assist. The person's role was to hand the dying Klingon a knife so that he could plunge it into his heart, remove it, and then wipe the blood on his own sleeve. So, I don't know. I'm not sure that they have a resignation.
I stab you in the face! Of course,
I don't accept that. Yeah. And
Of course, you know, well, this is what I, this part I do know. I don't know why I know this, but the mating ritual of the Klingons, the woman bites the guy in the face. And that you draw blood, it's like, and that's supposed to, is like, oh, you drew blood from my face. Come here, baby. You know?
That was Next Generation.
Yes,
it
was.
Worf.
Uh-huh. That's how you learn more about the Klingons in Next Generation. So.
I love when Worf meets the Klingons from in the Tribble, where they Next Generation does the whole Tribble thing, and he meets the old Klingons.
That's right. That actually goes back to the original one. They had the guy. It's like, oh, they really like you, Dr. McCoy. Oh, they really like you, Spock. Oh, they go to this guy. Oh, they really hate you. What the hell? Oh, this man is Klingon. So, yeah, and then it was huge. It's really funny. They go back in time. Yeah, the great Klingon Empire beat the Tribbles. And it's like they beat an animal that doesn't have any weapons, just eats. That's all it does is eats and reproduces.
Eats and reproduces.
Right.
Born pregnant.
I actually had a Tribble. Not a real Tribble, obviously, because they don't exist. But, I mean, you could buy – I went to a Star Trek convention, and they had Tribbles for sale. It's just a little piece of fur, and it's all – and it was just like, ooh. You had to make your own noises because there was nothing in it. Just like, ooh, that's so cute. So I have no idea what happened to it. I lost it years ago. But it would have been fun if I would have had it right now. But
starved to death.
Starved to death, yeah. At least it wasn't born pregnant. Otherwise, I'd have a house full of Tribbles. No Soup for Trolls said Federation equals the U.S. NATO or NATO. Obviously, Klingons. Russia equals Russia. Cardassians equal Germany. Romulans equal China. Vulcans. Japanese Bajorans. Polish. Betazoids. French. The Borg. Really? The Borg? The threat of uniculture of the U.S. Trill equals Canadians, Mexicans, who knows, North Korea, who knows, South Korea, who knows, and Britain, who knows. So, yeah.
Trippy fan, the Borg are the creationists. It's just atheists giving a high five. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. It's just so funny. But, yeah, it's a real language. But, anyway. Speaking of people and creationists, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. We have a video for you to show to you tonight. Unfortunately, I was kind of lazy today and I didn't take notes, so I'm just gonna have to wing this one. So we got Pat Robertson. He's always saying something really fucking retarded. I'm sorry, I had using that word, but. He's saying something really, really stupid. We'll go to that video right now.
This is Nancy who says, my spouse was reading the part of the Bible where God told his people to wipe out cities and take their lands. Why didn't a loving God have mercy on them? That sounds like Islam to me.
Well, it does sound kind of rough, doesn't it? Those wars of extermination have given pause to people through the centuries. But here's the deal. If you look at it this way, assuming you have a culture that has 1,000 really bad people in it. They're murderers, they're thieves, they're rapists, they're having incest, I mean, you name it. They're doing everything horrible. Now, if they have children, what's going to happen? Instead of having 1,000, you'll have maybe 3,000 or 4,000. And then if they, nothing has changed them, then they're going to pass it on to the next generation. Then the next thing you know, you've got 10,000 or 20,000 of them. And if it keeps on going, you can have a million of them. So what's the most merciful thing for a loving God to do is to take the 1,000 and get rid of them. And that's what he did. I mean, he sent his people in to say, these people have had like hundreds of years, and they are rebels, and they are depraved, and the earth needs to get rid of them. Now, it sounds cruel, but in the long run, it's more merciful. Further, he didn't want his people to be contaminated by those people. So I know that's all hard, but this is God, and I'm not God. I'm just telling you that's a good rationale for what happened.
Yeah, he made himself known through his works with his people, too. Some of these other communities of people knew that their God was an awesome God and yet continued in their
lives. Yeah, well, yeah. There's so many things. But you read Leviticus, you know, the things that they did were just appalling. I mean, they had sex with animals and they had incest and they did all these terrible things and they offered their children as sacrifices to their gods. They just went on down the line. It was horrible what they did.
Well, hey, Robertson, pot meat kettle, you know, fuck. Jesus Christ. One of the things he said that, you know, these people are having sex with animals. Have you been to Kentucky? Have you been to anywhere in the United States? There are 22 states in the United States. It's legal to have sex with animals. They want to ban gay marriage, but it's okay to have sex with animals. And that's in this country. This isn't in somewhere else. And he says it's okay because God said to you, go and kill these people because they might have children. And then those children will have children. And then, you know, they're all just depraved. Really? I've actually heard this argument from a guy I used to know. Well, he had to kill them because they had to kill them because those children would grow up and then they would turn into all these monsters. Well, that's ridiculous because children, they learn, but they can't change. I'm an example of that myself. I came from a family of smokers and drinkers. I rarely drink. I drink like once or twice a year at most. And I don't smoke. And I came from a family of people who drink and smoke. So to say that these people had to be wiped out because they're just going to turn all into monsters is like, is just ridiculous. Crystal, your thoughts?
What can you say about this guy? When I was listening to that, it was almost like you're describing exactly what the Bible says.
Yes.
You know, Isaac, Abraham, there is murder, there's incest, there's fathers offering up their daughters. You're describing your own Bible.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, he is describing the Bible. I mean, and he goes, oh, well, they're sacrificing their children to their gods. Well, look in your Bible. You supposedly told, God told Jacob, or whatever his name was, I can't remember the top of my head. Abraham, thank you. Told Abraham to sacrifice his son. He supposedly stopped him. Oh, and there's that I forget the other guy's name. He said after the war, he said, "Well, if you let me win this war, the first thing I see, and I step out of my house, when I get back to my house, the first thing I see, I'll sacrifice that thing to you." And his daughter is the first thing he sees, and God doesn't stop him from sacrificing his daughter to God. So this sacrificing the children thing is another bullshit one. You know, it's just,
the Bible is just littered with blood sacrifice.
Absolutely.
You know, it is.
Yeah.
And Exodus, you know, is one of them. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me.
Right.
They belong to me. So, you know, I mean, that's just like, it's all in there.
Right.
And for him to be making almost a mockery, oh, well, you know, that's really bad. I mean, yeah, it's terrible. But, you know, God had to send his people in there to kill those people because they did all these terrible things. Hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
There's just no other word for it. He is a huge hypocrite, and I'm a Christian. This is not what it's supposed to be. But I just felt like he was reading out of the Bible. If I had just came in the middle of that clip and didn't know what he was speaking of to begin with, I would have thought he's reading out of the Bible.
Yeah. It's just the atheist in the chat room said it was Jephthah. Yeah, that's correct. That's right. It was Jephthah. He sacrificed his daughter to God. So for him to say, oh, they're having, you know, children sacrifices their God, right there in the Bible. But that's bad because these people were supposedly doing it. But when it's your God, it's okay? I mean, really? Pot, meat, kettle? Connie, your thoughts.
When Pat says, what's the most merciful thing for a loving God to do? He's talking about all of these children and these generations of children that are being born to these people. It's one of the ugliest parts is the assumption that evil is an incompatible inherited condition and that the human condition without God is hopeless. And, you know, he rails against murder, but genocide is his solution. And people want to talk about, wail about abortions, how abortions are cruel. But basically, he's talking about his preemptive abortions. We're going to wipe these people out. And one of the main reasons that Pat promotes is that God doesn't want his people contaminated by these wicked people. And here I want to give a quote. The personification of the devil as a symbol of all evil assumes that the living shape of a Jew, Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. And it's not the only time that, you know, people hear this crap and they go ahead and they'll apply it to whoever it is that they think is an undesirable, inhuman person. Dehumanizing your enemy is the first step, and that's how you get people to do it. What's God awful about this is the reason that this question is asked is because these people came in and they did commit genocide. They committed mass murder and rape and thievery. They would plunder. It was called plunder. It's called spoils of war, but they were still thieving. And so for me, I just don't, you know, Pat Robertson can sit here and wave his little hand and say, and that was really, for me, that was the clincher. He just wanted to slap him with a silly stick because he says, and he's literally waving his hand, I know that's hard, but this is God, and I'm not God. I'm just telling you that that is a good and rational for what happened.
Yeah,
I'm going, what the? Wash your hands there, you know, Pilate.
Yeah.
Wash your hands of the whole thing, and you want to talk about, you know, sacrificing your son. Well, guess what? God did it to his own son, so should the Christian, you know, it should people who promote this, they don't expect anything more, anything better than what God supposedly did,
right,
to, you know, his own. It's maddening. It's maddening. The more I think about it, the more I realize that it's the deeply fundamentalist and Pentecostal part of Christianity that is really truly dangerous.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The more that people who are believers who don't accept all this crap distance themselves from them and become vocal about it, the better off we'll all be.
Right.
So that's what I have to say.
Absolutely. No, that's good. Dawkins Dog in the chat room, he said this. I have to read it because it's so awesome. He said, the Bible says, "You shall know them by their fruits." It's true, because they're bananas.
And shaped for Ray Comfort's pleasure.
I know it can fit right into my hand. Aw. So.
That's what Kirk Cameron's for.
That's what Kirk, yeah, it probably was. No, Pat Robertson, he's such a dodo. I mean, he's such an idiot. I mean, to say, yeah, genocide, it's okay as long as God says it's okay. But, and you know, because those people are having sex with animals, having incest. Have you been to Kentucky? Have you been to Alabama? Just look around. I mean, this happens everywhere. Oh, and Lot, the ones that, it was Lot.
Yeah.
His daughters.
Having sex with his daughters. You know, does that not qualify as incest? Really, Pat? Really? Come on.
Well, there's specific rules too.
Oh yeah.
You know, who you could marry within family.
Oh yeah, that's true.
The Old Testament too. So
yeah. Well, they thought, well, shit, no one's around. Well, I guess Dad's got to get us knocked up because, or else where are we gonna have kids? But you know, who's gonna birth these kids? I mean, they're gonna have their kids get pregnant, have their kids, and then you know what? Then the kids live on and the mothers die, or are they just gonna have sex with the mother and have more kids? I don't, you know, boom, weird. So anyway, I don't know. I just some weird stuff there. Just.
Where is the love, people? Where is the love?
Where is the sanity is my question. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Marcia B. That's MARCIA _BEE. And they say, if Twitter existed back in ancient Egypt, do you think they would have gotten a 140 hieroglyphic limit? Can you imagine the papyrus consumption?
Oh, I love that tweet.
Circle, eye, fiery face, whatever. Ra, Jory B. What does it say? I don't know, but I'm putting down pictures. Crystal, your thoughts?
Awesome tweet.
Yes.
Love it. Nothing else to say.
Okay. Connie, your thoughts?
just realizing we're hieroglyphics. It's sort of like LOL, lols, and all of that.
How do you write LOL in hieroglyphics?
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, it's just a picture. It's just, it's not, you know, it's short for laugh out loud. I'm going, wait, that's sort of like papyrus. It's sort of like the hieroglyphics, isn't it?
No. Somebody needs to draw me. Someone needs to draw LOL and hieroglyphics. And if you send it to me, I'll post it up on the on the Packard Pokes at webpage and on the Facebook page. So
that's a nerdy ass post there.
Yes, it is.
Sweet.
All right, let's get to our shout out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out tonight comes from Connie, and her shout out is for Jennifer Wren. That's JennieWren66. Connie, can you tell us a little bit about Jennifer Wren?
Yeah, she's a former teacher, wife, mom, and photographer. I first met her on Twitter when Joel Hodgson and the MST3K people had the Turkey Day just in 2013. I've seen on her Twitter line, too, that she's keeping in shape by doing boxing, which is quite impressive. So, and I know she has an Instagram with her photography on there. She has some gorgeous wedding pictures that she's taken, and really great, you know, rational thinker. Seems to like a lot of media, like she likes tweets about the Grammys and different movies and things like that. So really interesting person, and go check her out. She only has about 300... people follow. It's 10 people follow her. She had 300 tweets.
Right.
So yeah, definitely 10 followers. Go check her out and sub to her.
Yes, absolutely. Give her a shout out.
Follow her. Sorry.
Follow her.
Dang it.
Stalk her.
Tell her you heard her on the show and stalk her. It's JennieWren66. All right, and we actually have a voicemail, but it's the same person who does it all the time. But what would be funnier is because Google Voice has a tendency to screw up what they said. I'm going to, instead of playing the voice or playing the audio, I'm actually just going to, read what they wrote, because it's just Google Translate is just so funny. It goes, yeah, hi. I just wanted to call and say that, set that. Yay for your J. Armageddon. Bye, y'all. My dad. He has sexiest voice over. Bye. Hey, number. Hello, sexy. It was some talk. Old. A. It's just. It's serenade me. Yellows. Need to stop. Bye. Yikes. Me a little bit voice. Bye. You little bit voicemail. Just. A preparatory disturbed. Bye. He's just fantastic. Yeah, I need to hear more. What a nice day. Bye. You owe. God in love, Google Translate.
He was speaking in hieroglyphics.
I think Google Translate is trying to speak to us in hieroglyphics there, because I didn't understand. It doesn't sound anything like that. It's like, what the hell? I think, you know those signs where you see things and it says, you're drunk, go home? Google Voice, you're drunk, go home.
No kidding.
Oh, that's just fantastic. All right, well, I want to thank the person who wrote in, or actually gave us their voicemail, and I know they know who they are because they're in the chat room tonight, but we'll give them a high five right there. High reverse five. But
right to the forehead.
Apply them directly to the forehead. No, I'm sorry, that's a different commercial. Face palm apply directly to the forehead. Boom. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming, and to all of our wonderful chatters and the new faces we saw in the chat room tonight. And come again next week. We're going to have a short show next week, so it'll be about half hour long, 45 minutes, somewhere in there. So have a good night, and we'll see you next week. This has been Packard Pokes At. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.